The Lord be with you. I remember as a kid sitting in the waiting room of the doctor's office, looking through Parade magazine. Do any of you remember that? Little kids puzzle magazine. And one of my favorite puzzles was the one where you get two pictures that are nearly identical, but you have to identify what one or two things have moved from one picture to the next. Well, I kind of feel like we've done that with the sanctuary this year. Every Sunday you come in, there's one thing that's moved somewhere else. It's just a little bit different. This week, a little more different than others, perhaps, as we have our new screen and we're trying out some new space. So let us know what you think. If your sight lines aren't quite working out right, we tried to sit in just about every seat to make sure this works, but let us know how it goes. Today we continue our journey through the Gospel of Mark. And as we do, we make our way this week to the end of chapter 12. I'm actually going to add a couple of extra verses from what was originally put in the bulletin. I want to include the first two verses of chapter 13, so hang in there with me. But we're going to begin today at Mark 12, verse 38. Listen to God's word for us this morning. As Jesus taught, he said, "Beware of the scribes, who like to walk around in long robes." "And be greeted with respect to the marketplaces and have the best seats in the synagogue." Who picked this passage? "In places of honor at banquets, they devour widows' houses. And for the sake of appearance, say long prayers, they will receive the greater condemnation." Jesus sat down opposite the treasury and watched the crowd putting money into the treasury. Many rich people put in large sums. A poor widow came and put in two small copper coins, which are worth a penny. Then he called his disciples and said to them, "Truly I tell you, this poor widow has put in more than all those who are contributing to the treasury. For all of them have contributed out of their abundance, but she, out of her poverty, has put in everything she had, all she had to live on." And continuing in chapter 13, as Jesus came out of the temple, one of his disciples said to him, "Look, teacher, what large stones and what large buildings." Then Jesus asked him, "Do you see these great buildings? Not one stone will be left here upon another. All will be thrown down." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Good and gracious God, may the words of my mouth, the meditations of all of our hearts, be pleasing and acceptable to you, O Lord, for you are our rock and our redeemer. And let all God's people say, amen. So in our lesson today, Jesus points the disciples to notice the widow who puts in all that she has, all the money that she has into the temple, or as we might translate in contemporary language, she gives all of her money to the church. And so the moral of the story, of course, is that we too, as faithful disciples, should give all of our money to the church. Amen. Thanks, everybody. Good night. We laugh because we hope it's not true. But unfortunately, those middle verses, 41 to 44, that tell just that specific story about the widow and her mites, as they're translated in older translations, the widow and her mites, that story is often told on its own and out of context. And when it is, it's often used as a stewardship sermon, as a sermon about generosity. That even as she's given everything that she has to the temple or to the church, so we too should offer all that we have to God. As I looked through a range of notes, commentaries, studies in preparation for this morning, there are many who go down that particular road. And in fact, I found in some of my notes on an old laptop that I actually preached that sermon about 10 years ago myself. And the truth is, that's not an entirely inappropriate application of this passage, but I don't think it's the only one, and perhaps it's not even the best one. I added a couple of extra verses today because I discovered in preparing this text that, as I shared a couple of weeks ago, Mark has a literary technique that he uses throughout the gospel that we sometimes call a Markan sandwich. It means that there's three stories that are sort of stacked together, like a piece of bread and then some filling and then another piece of bread. And by stacking those together, those stories are meant to help illuminate the meaning of one another. In this case, I think if we take the story of the widow's mites and understand the bread that bookends it on either side, we might, in fact, come up with a very different set of reflections. Jesus begins this passage by talking about the scribes, calling them out for their long robes and their prestigious seats in the synagogue. And Mark, who is very careful with his language, uses a particular word to describe something that the scribes do. He says that they devour widows' houses. Do you remember where that word devour has come up before? We encountered it a few weeks ago back in Mark chapter 4. It was the parable of the sower, sowing seed, planting a harvest, and in some cases, the birds devour the seeds so that they cannot take root and grow. That word for devour used in chapter 4 is the exact same word that Mark uses here for the second time, and I think not unintentionally. I think Mark wants us to take notice of the fact that these things that devour, that defeat the purposes of Jesus, are what the scribes here are about. He's setting up a clear contrast between the scribes, who are all about themselves and seeming to miss the point of their true role as religious leaders, and the widow who has come seeking help. Then, not only do we have the sandwich on that side, but on the other side, we have the story about the temple, the facade of the institution itself that the disciples can't help but admire. Look at these stones. Look at this building. Isn't this great? And Jesus says, you think that's great? This is all going to be torn down. This is all temporary. This is all finite. This is all just for show. This isn't the real temple. This isn't the real church. This isn't my real body. This isn't God's real family. This is just a facade. Don't get caught up in all of that. I think part of the point that Jesus may in fact be making is trying to help us understand the widow's self-sacrificing offering in a very different context. And in fact, when we look at the larger themes of Mark as are part of our Lenten word cloud, which again is on your bulletin today, we might discover that it's the religious leaders and their followers who have a profound misunderstanding about who is first and who is last, and that in their self-serving offerings, they're missing the point of the sacrificial offering of the widow, who by doing so is placed into the context of one who is extraordinarily fragile and vulnerable and comes to make an offering because it's the only thing that she can do. It's all that she knows to do. And she's invested all of her hope in this particular place. A year and a half ago, losing my voice. When my wife Miriam and I found out that we would be moving to Fort Collins, we began working our way through all of the details that, as many of you, some of you recently know, you have to navigate in order to move from one place to another. Seems even if you're just moving across town or moving across the country, there's so many details to work through. And so we had a kind of divide and conquer mentality, and there were certain things on her list and mine. And unfortunately, one of the things that got put on my list was to call Comcast. I know. For the relatively simple purpose of disconnecting our service so that we didn't pay more than we needed to pay on the day that we were moving out, and then hopefully to even try to see if they could advance the order to pick up our new service in Fort Collins and just try to get the ball rolling on that, because I knew that the housing market here was crazy and I just wanted to get a jump if we could. So I just had a couple of very specific particular questions that I wanted to ask. It would just take a couple of minutes, I knew. And as I see the nodding heads, I know some of you have also been on the phone with Comcast. So I called. Hello, the pleasant robot voice answered. Welcome to Comcast. If you'd like to hear about our wonderful new specials for the summer, press 1. If you'd like to hear about how you can add new services and products to your account, press 2. If you'd like to know our hours and locations for drop-off, press 3. If you'd like to hear this message in Spanish, press 4. Well, if I spoke Spanish, how? Oh, it doesn't matter. I listened and listened, and then eventually I tried to dial my way through the menu, and I finally got put on hold and then disconnected. And so I called back. Hello, welcome to Comcast. If you'd like to hear about our... And so I worked my way through the menu again, and this time I got a little further, and I put in my account number. I grabbed the sheet and dialed it in, and then I got put on hold and then disconnected. And so I called back again. Now I'm starting to get pretty angry. And so as I'm making my way through the menu, I remembered an old trick that sometimes can work. As you're making your way through the menu, you can say, representative. And it will hear you and it will connect you by bypassing the rest of the menu to a live person on the phone. And so I thought, maybe this will work. And so as I'm making my way through the menu, I said, representative. I'm sorry, she said, I didn't understand your response. Would you like to go back to the main menu? No, I said, representative. I'm sorry, she said, I didn't understand your response. And she started the menu from the beginning. And now I'm furious. And so I start yelling into the phone, because clearly hearing impairment is the problem for the robot lady on the other end. Representative, I said. Unbeknownst to me, while this is happening, my wife had come back from running errands and had come into the room behind me without me noticing her, just in time to see the man that she loves, the man to whom she has pledged to live the rest of her life, hunched over with muscles tensed in my bathrobe in the living room, screaming into a 10-square-inch piece of metal in my hand, representative, representative. It was not my finest hour. But the thing is, I didn't want to talk to the robot lady. I didn't want to hear about all the specials, all the extra things that they thought I needed. I didn't want to be caught up in a virtual world where it was designed primarily to steer me in the direction to meet their bottom line. I didn't want a predetermined set of answers to a predetermined set of questions that they thought I would have. I just wanted a real person, a human being. I just wanted somebody who would listen to me, who would get to know who I was and what it was I needed, and in just a small, simple gesture, create a little moment of connection, of humanity, of belonging. Just somebody for a moment to affirm my worthiness, long enough to hear what I needed and to provide a genuine and compassionate response. I didn't want the shiny facade of Comcast. I wanted a representative of Comcast, a representative who, in their humanity, could reach out and connect to me, one-on-one, human to human, and seek to meet my need. And while I will confess that the comparison, by contrast, is almost silly to the context and the urgency of the widow who makes her way into the treasury that day to give the last offering that she has to give, she comes as one who is sitting on the very bottom rung of the social and economic ladder of her time, and a now unaccompanied woman who has no head of household, who has no income, who finds herself alone and afraid, she comes seeking not the fancy dress or the best seats. She comes not to admire the facade. She comes out of her desperation, seeking in her vulnerability a representative, a person who, on behalf of the temple, on behalf of the church, will reach out to her with a gesture of kindness, with an affirmation of her belovedness as a child of God. You see, friends, I think Jesus points the disciples to notice the self-sacrificial gift of the widow, not because Jesus wants us to do what she does, but because Jesus wants us to notice who she is. The primary fault of the scribes is not that in their arrogance and narcissism and ego that they have misunderstood Jesus' intent about what it means to live in the kingdom. I think the primary problem is that in doing so, they have created a barrier of separation between themselves and others, lifting themselves up, separating themselves from the rest of humanity, doing the very opposite of who we were created to be and what we were created to need, which is one another in community. Truth is, our vulnerability, and we all have it. We have places in our lives we are vulnerable. We have seasons in our lives in which we are particularly vulnerable. And we are, in fact, probably more connected in our vulnerability than anywhere else. And so Jesus invites us to look at the widow, not as a role model, I don't think, in this case, but as a reminder for us to create an experience together, a culture, a family, a community, where we can be for one another and the world the representative of Christ's love and grace for all. Amen.